So as we approach the Lord's table, this is not just some sort of add-on at the end of a service, something that we just kind of tuck in there somewhere. This is actually a very holy, consecrated moment in time. And I just want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And appreciate your worship here this evening. And I just want to get into the word of the Lord, which is one of the most important parts of communion service, understanding what it is. There's many times I would say in my early years, partaking in communion, I can't say I really comprehended much about it. I knew what it was. I knew there was a Welch's grape juice and crackers. And that's about all it got in my mind as a young man. But I understood something as I began to get saved, but even more as a pastor, just how precious this time is. Once again, we know that it's what we call Holy Week or Passion Week, as we are reflecting on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His atonement and His work there on the cross. But the most important scriptures, I guess we could say, we find in the Bible concerning the ordinance of the church. We know that we have two ordinances that we see in Scripture, ordinances, things that we practice as the body of Christ. We have water baptism, and thank God for that. I trust if you are born again that you have been baptized according to the Scriptures. And we don't believe that saves you, but we do believe if you're saved, you will get baptized, and you would want to be baptized. And if you didn't know before, now you know now. Amen. It's important to do so. But the other part is the Lord's table. And we're going to focus on these verses. I want to read them to you. And then I'm going to take my time and expound on the title of this little sermonette here. I won't spend extremely long on this. Is the significance and the seriousness of communion. The significance and the seriousness of communion. And I want you to look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, and I will be reading all the way to verse 34, and then I'm going to return to these verses and expound on them just a little bit here this evening. It says, "For I have," and this is 11 and 23, "for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." It's important to notice that verse there. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," which means are dead. That's what that verse would mean there. Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Aren't you glad the Lord chastens us and deals with us? Verse 33, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So a few things I would have us to understand about the text, the verses I just read to you. I want to talk to you about the significance and the seriousness of communion, the Lord's table. We call it communion. Others call it the Eucharist, which simply means giving thanks. And we are not Catholic, as you know, and we do not believe that the bread and the juice here becomes the actual body and the blood of Jesus. But we do believe that in this precious time together, that the Lord joins with us in such an act of remembrance and thankfulness. So I want you to understand this here this evening. Everybody, please listen to me. The value and your experience here tonight at communion depends on the condition of your heart. I want you to understand that. The value of the experience that you will have here this evening depends on the condition of your heart of those who are going to participate And this was a problem in the Corinthian church. That's why Paul is writing this. They are not discerning communion as they should. They're half-hearted. They have things that are hidden in their heart, attitudes, different things we could read of. If you ever study the book of 1 Corinthians, you know what I'm talking about. A lot that is going on there. And even some not caring for the brothers or sisters in the church. And so they were coming to the Lord's table and partaking with a wrong condition in their heart. But let me go ahead and say this as well. Communion is for believers, not the unbeliever. You understand that? Communion is for the believer and not for the unbeliever. Even to the place that in church history, they asked you before you partook, and the congregations are a lot bigger than what we were looking at here tonight. We pretty much know each other. But the congregations at that time that had hundreds, at times even thousands, they would actually interview people as they came forth to partake of communion because they did not want somebody to partake unworthily and hurt themselves further in their damnation. They were that concerned and that serious about the Lord's table. And once again, I hope you understand why I try to take a good bit of time to expound to you that this is not coming up here just to do this because everybody else is doing this. This is a service where you search yourselves. This is a time where you examine yourself because the Lord can and will chasten a person who does not discern the Lord's body and his blood. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep, which means they have died. So here, let's look number one. What I want us to understand is the significance of the Lord's Supper. And then I want us to understand how serious this time is here together. Once again, I need your attentions and just follow along. If you have your Bibles open there in 1 Corinthians 11, you will see these points that I will bring out to you. First, I want you to notice in verse 23 what Paul says. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that I also delivered unto you." So notice this. Paul was not at the Last Supper with Jesus. This is a revelation that was given to Paul. Now, when it says he received this, this is what he's saying is that he's received this truth concerning the Lord's Supper, I believe, directly from the Lord himself, and something maybe from the apostles, but I believe the Lord himself really just stamped this upon the heart of Paul because he is the one that is going to write about the believer's participation in communion. He is the one that is going to establish its truth to the church. So he said, I've received this. And he also tells us, I have delivered this unto you, to the Corinthian church and all of us who will read. Paul reminds the Corinthians further that he had communicated the truth about this ordinance to them verbally while he was among them. And here this evening, we know about this because Paul has chosen to share this with us. If Paul did not write 1 Corinthians 11, we would have a lot of questions about this ordinance. We would know very little about this ordinance. So Paul wanted us to understand. So he turns to the question of why it was even instituted in the first place. And he tells us that we come to remember, first of all, the Lord's person. Tonight when you partake, you are taking time to remember the Lord's person. So once again, these two specific emblems are brought forward by the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul here to remind us about these things. Number one, the emblem of his body, which tonight will be in the form of the bread. And we understand it says in verses 22 through 24, he says he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, seems very simple, doesn't it? But notice once again how profound this is. How many times had Jesus broken bread before? Several times. You remember when he feeds the multitude? He takes bread and he breaks it. But we understand it has a deeper significance here. Even though it was a commonplace act, if you lived in that time, it would be very common for you to take bread and to break it. It was a very common thing in that time. But once before he had taken bread and blessed it, fed the thousands. But here he's saying, look, this is not just another meal. This is not just another time that we're going to sit down and break bread. But he says, look, take, this is my body. See how important that is. First, he gives thanks. Notice that. Not just for the bread. This was not just an ordinary grace to be said before a meal, like an ordinary meal. He gives thanks, then he deliberately breaks it and solemnly says, "This is my body." In other words, he stood there with the bread in his hands, which symbolized his body. He gave thanks for the impending breaking of his literal human body on the cross of Calvary. And what an extraordinary act of faith. Soon that body of his would be battered, bruised, and broken beyond our imagination. He would be punched and slapped, crowned with thorns and scorched to the bone. His very beard would be plucked and torn from his cheeks. He would be hammered to a cross of wood, and every bone in his body would be given into pain. Yet he gives thanks for all of it. Takes the bread. "This is my body." And he breaks it. Breaks it. And he gives God thanks that he's able to do so. Brothers and sisters, do we realize what Jesus has done for us as he willfully gave his body to be broken for us? Gives thanks, says, "Do in remembrance of me." Secondly, came the emblem of his blood. First, there was the taking of the cup. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, and there, and then after that there was the making of the covenant, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often you drink it in remembrance of me." So notice here, the contents of the cup and the small cup that you will receive here this evening was clearly intended to symbolize the blood shed on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. Throughout the Old Testament period, you know the stories, and you know about the commissions and the laws there, how several animals were slain, how the blood would flow, rivers of blood, countless animal sacrifices, but all the blood could not cleanse our guilty conscience and wash away one single stain of sin. But notice here, there was a richer blood that flowed through his veins. So when he takes this cup, he's saying, "This is my blood." When you take that small cup tonight, please don't look at this as some empty ritual. And we're just trying to get through this. And no, that's not what we're doing. We want you to understand what you are partaking of. The Lord would have us never to forget the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. The shedding of his blood, however, was to serve not only that, but also this purpose of ratifying a new covenant. How many appreciates the new covenant? I think, you know, many of us are born again into the new covenant. But my, would the early Jews not understand more than we what it would be to be in the old covenant than come into the new? My, what a contrast, what a difference to come in by grace and mercy. And a man or a woman can put their faith in Jesus Christ and instantly be justified by faith. They don't have to make a pilgrimage. They don't have to go find an animal. They don't have to do all these different ceremonial washings and all these different things. No, they come to Jesus. It is a new covenant. It is a better covenant. In the Old Testament, as I mentioned this morning, going to the temple and through the holies of holies was something that was a privilege only given to certain priests. But here, all of us are able to go in the new covenant. So, I'm not sure, does the front of this table say "in remembrance of me"? Okay, good. That's why we call it a communion table. When we hear the word "to remember," at the Lord's table, we should be occupied with nobody else but Jesus Christ himself. If you're here tonight and you're thinking about your neighbor, I'm trying to get your mind off your neighbor. If you're here tonight and you got your mind on the job tomorrow, I want you to get your mind off the job. If you're here tonight and you got all these other things trying to reach for your attention, I'm telling you right now, that's why for the last week and even this morning, I'm pushing us to the service. Get your mind on the Lord's table. We should focus our thoughts, our hymns, the scripture reading as I'm doing now, our ministry on his person, on all that he has done for us, his nature, his personality, and we should focus upon him. Who is he, Jesus Christ? He's not just a moral man. No, sir. He is the God. He's in the Godhead, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with the Father, possessed all the attributes of deity. We should remember him as our Savior and our God. Yes. At the Lord's table, we also come to another thing of remembering the Lord's passion Notice what it says in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do this, you do show the Lord's death. You notice that? Tonight when we're partaking in this, we're showing the Lord's death. Why? Why do we need to do this? Why do some churches do this every month? And why do we do it on occasion? Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. Oh, you know it's true. I don't think you walk around and say, oh, I forgot Jesus died. What happened there again? No, but yet your spiritual condition or how much you are appreciative or thankful for that certain event. Yes, we need to come together and focus on it more frequently. He said, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. If you are lost here tonight, tell you what we're doing in this service. We're showing you the Lord's death. We're showing you what he's done for us. If you're born again, and I trust that you are, here tonight we are here to appreciate the Lord's death. But also notice this, it shows us, we come to remember the Lord's position. He says there in verse 26, you do show the Lord's death. You do show the Lord's death until he comes, or till he come. How many knows one day he's coming back? Communion is something that we do during the church age until the Lord returns. He's coming back one day. And right now, why do we do this in remembrance? Because physically, he's not here with us. Physically, we know in spirit he is. And we know that through the Holy Ghost, that's how we fellowship through the Spirit and God's omnipresence, yes. But physically, the Lord is not with us at this time. He's at the right hand of the Father. We know that. But guess what? One day he is coming back. But until that time, we're remembering what he has done for us right here. Don't you find it amazing that over 2,000 years ago, something happened to a man that never wrote a book, never had a Facebook page? Amen. That never left us a building? Never left us, you know, all these garments the Catholics find, you know, they'll frame them and put them and build a church on top of them, everything else. He hadn't given us none of those things. What has he given us to remember him? You know, if he had just gave us one garment, we would all have to travel somewhere to see that garment. If he had gave us some sort of thing like that, no, but what do? We come to church before the Lord's table. And there, this is how we remember him. We know the Lord is no longer on the cross. He's on the throne. He's coming again. He's our mediator. So the Lord's Supper should include the thoughts and sure certain thoughts that he is our great high priest. He's our advocate with the Father, seated at the right hand of his majesty on high. So throughout Scripture, when the Bible speaks of the sufferings of Christ, it speaks also of his glory to follow. So here tonight, we're looking at the cross, but also we're looking at the right hand of the Father. And we are beholding our Lord. So Paul reminds us, too, of the words that all, he says, oft as you do these things, let us know that we should not neglect it. We should do this often. With that said, it brings us to the warning parts, the part of warning in this passage. And I won't spend long on this because I do want to partake in what our minds and attentions do. I don't want to be weary. I want to really enjoy this time together here this evening. So having discussed the significance of the Lord's Supper, Paul turns to the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. And please, I would right now that we'd be as solemn and somber as we can right here. The warnings here are mentioned. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. The word unworthily there occurs only here and in verse 29. It means to participate in the Lord's Supper without the proper preparation. Means that it's kind of half-hearted. We kind of come in and like, all right, let's the Lord's Supper is communion again, the Lord's table. No, the Bible's letting us know you're unworthy when you do that. I come before this table here this evening. My heart trembles and I weep in thankfulness for the goodness of our Lord. The warning may have a reference, number one, to the unsaved. If you're unsaved here tonight, you are not to partake of the Lord's table. You understand that? You say, Brother Derek, that may leave somebody out. Well, the apology is this, that you simply need to get saved. I don't apologize for the holiness of the Lord's table. I will never do that. But also for those that are saved, that we not be half-hearted. So Paul underlines how serious a matter it is to partake of the emblems of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way. Notice what he says, because when you are unworthy and you come partake of this, you are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And it is difficult to imagine a more terrible charge against a person. Somebody say, I'm not guilty for crucifying Jesus. Your sins were. And when you're unworthy and you come before the Lord's table with an unprepared heart, he said, you're guilty of the blood and the body, which means you're treating his body on that cross. I want you to picture his body on that cross being had been ripped to pieces. And different artwork doesn't even touch on it. I mean, they had beat him and scourged him. And bones dislocated. Bones dislocated. I mean, skin and ribbons there. And we see him hanging there. And guess what? For somebody to say, oh, that don't matter to me, I don't think that's that big of a deal. No. That is being guilty of his body and his blood. And I cannot think of a more terrible charge. The word guilty there, it means to be liable, a charge, to face a legal action. So Paul mentions also a very reasonable decision if you are to come before the Lord's table. What is a reasonable decision, Brother Derek? What should we do? How many appreciates grace and mercy? Hallelujah. What should we do, Paul says, but let a man examine himself. Aren't you glad that you can examine yourself? Hallelujah. Brother Derek, I feel unworthy tonight. Well, can I give you a great piece of advice? The one that we're celebrating here tonight and remembering is still at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He's still an advocate. He's still a Savior. Yeah. And he's looking down upon us tonight. His Spirit is with us. And he's saying, I want you to partake. But I don't want you to do this half-heartedly. I died for you. Appreciate what I have done for you. Let him examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So there should be a measure of heart searching here tonight. Is there an unconfessed sin in your life? Does anyone have anything against me? Do I have anything against somebody? Am I walking in fellowship with the Lord and in the light as I should be? So then there's this final warning repeated in verses 29 through 30. The judgment that is deserved when a man, we've been warned. I've read the scriptures to you. I've expounded to you that you should not partake of this unworthily, because if you do, you drink damnation to yourself. So look, if you do come up here unworthily, not examining yourself and getting it right with God, then judgment is deserved. What is that judgment? First, it has to do with the sliding of the Lord's memorial body. He says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. The word damnation means and rendered is judgment. Which means when you partake of this unworthily, you drink judgment unto yourself. And only God knows fully in his divine mercy and grace how he handles all these things. And I'm glad I'm not the Lord and that God is able to make the decisions and know who is right and who is not. The related sin has to do with sliding the Lord's mystical body. He says, not discerning the Lord's body. The truth of the mystical body is a near context. There's other verses we could look at right here, but I'm not going to go there here this evening. But I just want you to understand this. Because of people's unworthy participation of the Lord's Supper there in the Corinthian church, he tells them that many in the Corinthian church who attended had bodily infirmities and diseases. Now, two things to say here. Number one, that doesn't mean if you are sick, that means that you didn't discern the Lord's body. Because sometimes we get sick in life, okay? But you know if you're irreverent and not right with God, and have approached the holy things of God unworthily. That's a personal thing. I'm glad as a pastor I can't see every heart. It's not your job to see every heart. Aren't you glad? What if God was to show us everybody's heart all the time? Oh, that's for God alone. And God is able to work and move there. So he lets us know, let us examine ourselves. And so as we come this evening, and we're going to put our minds toward this time of the service, I want your heart to be right before God at this time. So at this time, what I want to do is, if you've never been here before for our communion services, we want you to come forward and line up every other pew. And the reason we do that, starting with the front pew, and then we'll skip a pew and go to the next. That way it gives the deacons some room to walk between the pews and to serve. So at this time, let's come forward, and starting with the first pew, then skip one, and go to the one after that, and follow on as is necessary.